Welcome to Epiphany Brooklyn's podcast. I am Brandon Watts, lead pastor here at Epiph. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our desire is to join Jesus in his mission to redeem our city. May God bless you as you listen and consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Grace and peace.
You may be seated. What an amazing Sunday it is. Do me a favor. Let's get to the Word of God. I ran out of time in the first service. Grab your Bibles and go to the very first book of the Bible, which is the book of Genesis. Once you get there, go to Genesis chapter 3 is where we're going to hang out. As you turn there really quickly, prayer and Bible study is this Wednesday. As Gabe said, you'll notice that it's not our normal fourth Wednesday. We usually do prayer and Bible study on the fourth Wednesday of the month, but we're doing it on the third Wednesday simply because the week of Easter, we're just trying to keep the space as open as possible. We have some things going on and some things we're trying to prepare for with third service, but also with Easter Sunday. And so we will do a Bible study this Wednesday in this room. And let me just say this, like, man, I can't explain how serious I am about wanting to baptize every single person in the room that has not been baptized. And maybe you've been baptized and you were baptized as a kid. That was my story. I was baptized as a kid at United Fellowship Baptist Church. And I didn't know Jesus. I just was a wet kid running around. It was the church's model to baptize children. So we got baptized. But later on in life, when I professed faith in Christ in my 20s, I then got baptized again, or I should say baptized the right way for the first time, which is a believer. And so we went through the book of Acts in our last Bible study, and it was kind of impromptu. As we were going through, we just noticed and picked up how the progression from salvation to baptism was kind of like so connected. It wasn't connected in terms of salvation. It was connected after you get saved. You just got baptized. We saw it with the Ethiopian eunuch. We saw it with Cornelius' family in Acts chapter 10, where Peter and John were in the room, and Cornelius and his whole family got saved, and the Holy Spirit fell. And Peter's next response was, well, let's baptize them. And it was during that Bible study that we had a deep conviction to just baptize everybody in the church that has professed faith in Jesus and has never been baptized. So this Wednesday is the day. If y'all, you know, y'all like to look cute because y'all going out to brunch afterwards, so you don't want to mess up your hair, you don't want to do it on a Sunday, this Wednesday is perfect. It's a good day. And if you come in here and you forgot that it's baptism, we got you covered. We got everything that you need. And I promise you will leave out of here with dry clothes on because we got you with everything. Also, I just want to quickly mention this. Man, first of all, shout out to all of you guys who made it to church today. Shout out to those of you who are in the overflow room. Somebody posted on the Insta story. I read it. It was cracking up that 11:30 be giving Hunger Games. And it's true, man. Y'all be like, yo, I'm getting that seat. Slash this person up, get that seat. But one of the things that we are paying attention to and trying to do, of course, we're adding a third service, not just for Easter, but continuously. I see that some people are asking that question. From Easter on, it'll be three services, 9, 11, and 1 p.m. But the other thing we're doing on Easter that we haven't really shared with you guys is we're going to swap overflow and kids ministry spaces. So next door is going to be our children's ministry. That's where we're making it safe and your kids will be protected. But we're going to put the kids next door and we have a little bit more room upstairs for our overflow, which is what we did on New Year's night. I was told to make sure that I announced that the children's ministry will only be first service and second service. It won't be children's ministry in the third service. But if you come here and the room is full, just know we have some space for you upstairs and we're ready. We are ready for you. We are preparing. Audio will be fine. Projection will be, it will be better than next door. We'll have some live elements next upstairs as well. So I just wanted to give you guys that quick update about the swap. All right, who's ready for the word? You're ready for the word? Genesis 3, pretty familiar passage, I think, but let's dissect it. Look at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse number 4, but the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Jump down to verse 21 real quick. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. I want to preach today from the topic entitled, somebody look at your neighbor and just say, choices and decisions. That's what I want to preach about, choices and decisions. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We're grateful. So much to be grateful for. And some of it we have knowledge of. Some of it we're aware of. But so much of what you do, we just don't even know. So we just pause for a second to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you for your faithfulness, even where we're not faithful to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And your mercy is shown in the fact that we made it here another Sunday. We made it through another week. So, Lord, we pray, oh God, that as we prepare to hear from you, I pray that you would speak to us out of a familiar passage. May we wrestle well. May we let the word of God bear its full weight on us. It's in Christ's name alone we pray. May we see Jesus in the text. Amen. All right, choices and decisions. Look, I want to start today's sermon just a little bit differently than I normally do. I want to start today's sermon on choices and decisions with some multiple choice questions. And I want you guys to answer, participate, please. I want you to answer. You can answer by yelling out. You can answer by screaming. You can jump up, twirl around, sit back down, whatever you want to do. Just let your answer be known. And let me just kind of preface this by saying, I get it. These are my three choices. You might have different three choices, but it ain't about you right now. It's about the multiple choice. And so you kind of rock with me for a second. Here it is. Best 90s sitcom. A, Living Single. B, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. C, Martin. Yes, that's what I thought. That was the same one in the first. Now, it's going to get a little bit rockier, but I think we can all agree on that. Best current anime. I don't know if you guys watch anime or not. How many anime watchers in the room? There's a few of us. Okay, all right. I said us, a few of y'all, because it's the graphics. And it's too many episodes. All right, A, My Hero Academia. That's my favorite. That's the only one I watch. B, Demon Slayer. Some of y'all are like, I don't know about anime, but Demon Slayer, yeah, that's it. Slay them demons. All right, C, Naruto. That's it? That's the one? I know it's others that y'all watch. I was talking to Ayana earlier this week, and she was laying out a bunch of them, so I know there's others that y'all watch. Okay, how about this one? Best current rapper. Now, I know y'all got more than these three that I got on here, but these are just the three that I came up with. A, Drake. All right. And I got a surprise for y'all. Drake is here. Come on in, Drake. No, I'm joking. I got y'all. B, Ice Spice. Yeah? Y'all like, why did you even put that on the list? I like Ice Spice. C, Lil Wayne. Okay, who y'all got? Kendrick, J. Crow, all the little Uzi, little baby. Who? Big? Yeah. Meg Thee Stallion. Ty said that too. Meg Thee Stallion. Okay. All right. This is my list, Tiff. This is my list. Could be a little suspect. All right. This is going to settle it. Now, we've had a lot of debate. Y'all know where I stand on this, but we're going to settle it right here, right now. Greatest basketball player of all time. It's going to be settled right here. A, LeBron James. Come on, Spirit. Come on, Allende. All right, here it goes. B, James LeBron. Don't turn off the lights on me. C, King James. The answer is D, all of the above. Let's get to work, y'all. Genesis 3. Here's the reality. Everybody in this room has made, maybe you didn't have a multiple choice of choosing who the best rapper was or the best anime. Maybe you had no GOAT conversation about who's the greatest of all time in basketball. But I'm willing to bet that you have gone through life and you have made a ton of decisions. You have made a ton of choices. Forget life. You've made a ton of decisions just this morning. I can think of at least 9 or 10 decisions you made before you got to church. You had to make the decision if you were gonna, what time you were gonna get up, if you were gonna hit the snooze one more time. You probably made a decision on what breakfast was, if you eat breakfast. You made a decision on what you're going to wear today. You made a decision on if you were going to church. And when you decided on it, you made a decision on which service you were going to. And if you decided the 11:30, you made a decision on if you were going to stand in line and or if you were just going to take the L and get to the overflow. We made all these decisions just this morning. And I just laid out 8 or 9 decisions that you made just today. Some of you are making decisions right now as I'm speaking. You're on your Resy app and you're booking brunch and where you going next after. Everybody, we all have these decisions that are laid before us. And what I love about the passage is I wanna get us back to look at the original decision. Because I think looking at the original decision, we're going to pull out and pluck out some nutrients on how we make decisions. Now, let me just say this. I think how we make decisions, especially small decisions. We make small decisions without even thinking. Think about it. There are some decisions. Now, big decisions, you make those with a lot of thought. You might make those with fasting. You might make those with prayer. But let's be honest. Life is not made up of a bunch of big decisions. Life is made up of smaller decisions. You only got 5 or 6 good big decisions. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? Where am I going to live? If I'm going to relocate? There's probably 5 or 6 big decisions, big moments in your life. The rest of your life, every day, is a bunch of smaller decisions. And we think those smaller decisions don't have to be made with much thought and prayer, but small decisions have significant impact on your life in the positive and in the negative. If you make a bunch of small decisions that are all prayerful and thought through and aligned with your convictions, maybe you don't have to sit and pray through every single one of them, but if you know God's thoughts and God's heart and you make decisions based on that, I'm telling you, it will redirect your life back to the will of God. But the truth is, some of us make decisions, small decisions, without any thought, and you don't know why your life has been significantly impacted in the negative. I wonder if it's because we are making decisions without giving any thought to them. Now, let me point out the obvious real quick. I want you to notice that the fall of man happened in Genesis 3, verse 6. So what that basically means is the first 2 chapters where God was creating everything and he created man and he created woman and he created the world and the fish and the spirit hovered on. When all of the creation happened, God set in the hearts of Adam and Eve, he put a choice before them. He gave them the ability to choose, which means choices are a blessing. Y'all hear me? Choices are a blessing. They are a part of God's original plan. In fact, look at verse number 3. It says, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, before we see the problem with passages that are familiar to us, the problem is we know the end of the story. Now, that's good, but it's also not good because when you read passages like this, it's easy for us to just kind of assume what the scripture is going to say and assume what God is saying without really sitting in. You know, Adam and Eve going to make a foolish decision, but let's sit in verses 1 through 5 and just process the decision making. Because what I think happens is when you do so, you'll realize, number one, that choices and decisions really are a blessing. Do you realize that God could have made you a mindless being? He could have made you a robot. He could have made you a clone. My wife and I just started rewatching again The Walking Dead. He could have just kind of made you like a zombie that kind of just went through life, but he doesn't do that. What God says is, I value relationship with them so much that I need them to have the ability to reason. I need them to have reasoning skills. The reason I need them to do that is because I'm going to set before them choices. The fruit on the tree was less about food and more about obedience, and more about disobedience. And so what God does is he puts the decision before them. And when he puts the decision before them, God in heaven says, choose me. I need you to have reasoning skills, because when you have reasoning skills, you'll choose me, and you'll realize that relationship with me is better than the alternative. God makes free thinking people. You got a choice to follow God or not follow God. He makes us free thinking people. People that have their own minds, people that have their own thoughts, people that have the ability to say yes or no, people that have the ability, you're in the room, you have the ability to choose right and wrong. You have the ability to eat or not eat. You have the ability to be obedient or not be obedient. The choices before us, watch this, are a blessing. Let's marvel in that. Before we get to the choice that they made, let's first marvel in the fact that God created us and allows us to choose. Now, here's the problem with our decisions is they also have potential consequences to them. Every decision you make has a potential consequence to it, small or big. They have, and here's the, I just want honest people for a second. Anybody in the room, you're still kind of working your way out of a bad decision that you made? Anybody know? I said, look at the hands, y'all. Honest people, put the hand up. Honest people in the room going, I'm still trying to figure out and work my way out of a bad decision or a set of bad decisions that I made. Why? Because decisions have potential consequences. You never sin in a vacuum. You never make a bad decision that doesn't impact others. Look at Adam and Eve's decision. You sitting in here impacted today by a decision that Adam and Eve made. And for some reason, we disconnect our bad decisions to the fact that it could have a ripple effect. Our great, 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 great grandkids could experience something that you and I are making a decision on today. Because we don't sin in a vacuum. Decision making is like, it's like a link in a chain. It links our past to our future. In fact, it's Russell Crowe in the movie Gladiator, aka Maximus, that said, when he gathered the army and they were about to go into battle, this is what he said. What we do in life echoes in eternity. Now, what that means is the decision that you're making right now is going to affect you in eternity. But I would add to Russell Crowe's thought here that it doesn't just affect your eternity. The decision you make today can affect life now. It can affect, in fact, I'm going to quote somebody smarter than Russell Crowe, and that's Ty. This is what Ty says to my boys all the time. The decision that you make today has the ability to affect your life tomorrow. And there's some of us that make decisions and we think that we make it in a vacuum. But the truth is, open doors and closed doors are contingent on the choice that you make today. Blessings and curses are contingent upon the choices that you make today. Fruitfulness or fruitlessness is contingent upon the choices that you make today. Here's the choice that is before Eve. To eat of this tree that you know that you're not supposed to, here's the crazy part, or eat of the one that's next to it that you can eat of. It ain't a far walk. I imagine the tree is right next to the tree in the middle. You could eat on the tree on the edge of the garden. You could eat on the, and my thing is, when God said, God said in Genesis 1:31 that after he created everything, he sat back and affirmed his own self and said, it's good. So everything in the garden is good. Why are you lusting after the one that why? Because it's less about fruit, more about obedience. I wonder how many of our decisions and our choices would be crystallized if we first thought, how am I being disobedient to the Lord? We don't think like this often. Obeying and disobeying should be a huge part of your decision making. In fact, there's three words. If you understand these three words, Warner, I believe that your decisions will be a lot easier. The first three words of the verse I just read, and verse number three, but God said. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, but God said. at the forefront of every decision that you make, what if you consulted the voice of God? At every decision, I know this don't feel deep. This might hit you later on, but I'm telling you, if you would just sit long enough and say, you know what? I can't make that decision until I know, but God said. Because when God speaks, he's committed to telling the truth. Now, there's some things that don't be sitting in your room going, God, what color am I going to wear today? You might not get an answer on that one. You got to, you know, he's going to give you the free will to, you know, y'all look nice. So y'all pick the right colors today. You put it together well. But don't think that decision making should be absent of the voice of God. The reason Eve fell right now is because she forgot what God said back in Genesis 2 verse 16. Well, what did he say back in Genesis 2 verse 16? And the Lord God commanded the man saying, you shall surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for the day that you do, you shall surely die. What if when Satan came to her, what if she said, but God said? Our decision making could be a lot easier if we boiled it down to what God said. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't often do it's not always an audible yes or no. But here's the thing. There are some things that we are wrestling and making decisions on. And I would even argue, Pastor Caleb, there are some things that we're praying about that you know God already said no to. Yeah, yeah. This is the only time I will tell you not to pray. The only time. You don't have to pray about stuff that you know God already said no to. Can I give you an example of that? You know, there's a young man that's like, oh man, you know, God, I know I'm not supposed to be sleeping, you know, with my girlfriend, but you know, Psalm 139, you know, she's fearfully and wonderfully made. And you gave her the right curves and you know my desires. And so because of those two things, I think it's appropriate for me to sleep. So I'm gonna pray, Lord, can I sleep with my girlfriend? It's a waste of time. You know why? Because God has already committed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee from sexual immorality. He's already committed through Paul's words in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, or evil desires. So that doesn't just mean that you shouldn't be sleeping with your girlfriend. That also means you shouldn't be lusting after your girlfriend. What about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4? It got quiet. For this is the will of God for your sanctification. Here's what scripture says, that you abstain from sexual immorality, and each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness. The problem is, and that's just a small example, but we do this on the micro so much, where we know what God said, and forget sex. We just know all of these things that God has already said no to. Sometimes when I am looking for a yes from God and I don't get a yes from God, I rest in what I know he said no to. That is decision making. And the problem is we just kind of blindly go through these decisions without consulting the first three words of verse 3. But God said, the rest of this week, what I want you to pray, I want you to pray that God begins to crystallize his voice in your ear on the matter that you are making a decision on. Crystallize it. God help. You know why it needs to be crystallized? Because there's a whole lot of noise out here. There's a whole lot of fighting for my attention. There's a whole lot that is trying to dupe me. And so Lord, what I need is I need your voice to be clear. Let me not make decisions. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me not make decisions based on what makes sense. Because that's how we make decisions. We make decisions purely based on what makes sense. And what I found out about God, I don't know if y'all peeped this, but oftentimes with decision making, God often does the opposite of what I want him to do. That's it. And that's the problem. We make decisions based on what we think makes sense. But oftentimes God makes decisions that you ain't got the money for and he wants you to go that way. He makes this. And that's what we do. We look at the job promotion and we be like, it must be God because it's more money. More money doesn't always equal God. Obedience to whatever he's telling you to do is what makes sense the most. I can't tell you, I don't know, anybody in the room you ever got offered a large sum of money, but you knew it couldn't have been the Lord? I see you, sis. Anybody else? Like, you? I see you. As a church, I'll never forget this. Before we got into this building, You know, we did a capital campaign, so we had a little bit. You know, we just had a little bit of money. And we said, not a lot, I'm serious. We didn't have a lot. But we were like, we believe that God is going to get us into a building with this little. We serve a God that takes two fish and five loaves and multiplies it. And this company came along. We didn't pursue them. They reached out to us, and it seemed so good. You ever, something just seems so good to be true. And I kid you not, they offered us, they pre-approved us for $11 million. Now I know y'all like, you should have took the money. We could have been down at the Barclays. Forget the overflow. We could have been in a nice situation. State of the art. You finish service and your kid gets zip lines, zoop, right to your seat. We could have killed it. But I can't explain it. And you can ask Gabe. I don't know if Pastor Timmy's in the room. You can ask Pastor Timmy. We sat in these meetings and something in our spirit was like, this just ain't right. I don't know. I don't know what it is about this deal. It's just not right. To the point where when we got the space, they reached out to us and was like, y'all crazy for getting the space without even consulting us. And I was like, I knew the Lord said no. And sometimes when it comes to decisions, decisions don't always economically make sense. They sometimes the decision you have to make doesn't fit your ability and fit your skill set. Sometimes the role that God puts you on is disconnected from the connections. And if I got on this road, I could have got a hookup. And God is like, I don't want you to have a hookup because you're going to thank them. I need you to get over here where ain't nobody else can do this but the Lord. Decision making. And decision making often is contrary. And I'm just, honestly, I'm trying to pastor y'all through a future season of emotional pain. I'm trying to help you from wasting time. I'm trying to help you from future disappointments. God's way is always the right way. And I would rather sit in the back seat knowing I'm following God than sit in the front seat with Satan himself that's driving the car. Decision making cannot be absent of, here it is, but God said. Somebody say that again. But God said. It is the first step. And how you make decisions. Consult on what God. Now, Pastor B, I feel you, but I feel like you're oversimplifying. I agree. I'm oversimplifying it right now. Because here's the reality. God can speak to you and it can be very clear through others, through the word of God, through prophecy. He can speak a clear word to you and it aligns with your spirit. Here's where the water gets really muddy. After God speaks, do y'all know that Satan likes to talk a lot more than God? Okay. I counted this morning. I realized in the first seven verses that we read that God only spoke once. That's why Eve quoted what God said, but God said, and she quoted. But Satan speaks at least three verses bumped up against God's one verse. Here's what Satan says. You can't even get far into the chapter before Satan starts to speak. Verse number one, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field and the Lord that the Lord God had made. And he, meaning the Satan, said to the woman, did God actually say to you that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? He's going to speak again. And the woman said that the serpent said to the serpent that we may eat of the fruit of the garden. But God said not to eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, he speaks again. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, I need you to pay attention to what happened here. You see, surrounded around God's voice is the alternative voice. And what's crazy is this is so consistent with our lives. Y'all remember the cartoons where on one shoulder you got the angel, and on the other shoulder you got the devil with the pitchfork, and one is telling you to do right, and that's decision making. And oftentimes this is why we go with what seems right to us instead of following. I know this is what the Lord said. Here is what Satan's job was in Genesis 3. His job was to convince Eve that wrong really isn't wrong. That's it. Now, I don't know if you're paying attention to culture, but culture's job is to convince you that wrong really isn't wrong. We live in a culture right now that wants to redefine what God said. That is exactly what Satan did. She knew what God said, but Satan said, I'm going to read before she makes this decision. I'm going to convince her that that's not actually what God said. And if you eat of the tree, it's not that wrong. We live in a culture that is I can do whatever I want to do culture. I can be whoever I want to be. If I wanted to wake up tomorrow and tell you that I'm a pink flamingo from South Florida, that's what I am. And guess what? You better agree with it. And if I ask you to call me pink for, oh, y'all getting tight because I'm preaching on culture. This is what culture does. And at the core, what culture is doing is what Satan was doing, pulling Eve aside and whispering in her ear, is wrong really wrong? How many know that we serve a God that sets the standard of right and wrong, sets the standard of what to do and what not to do? And so what we do is we go through life and we're battling the voices and we're battling the advice. I really believe that many of you can trace that one decision that we talked about, that you raised your hand. I bet you majority of us in the room can trace back bad decisions to wrong advice, wrong company, wrong group chat. Wrong podcast. This is why Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Galatians, what did he say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1? He said, oh, foolish Galatian, who bewitched you? He didn't say what bewitched them. He didn't say where did you get bewitched. He traced a bad decision back to a person. And some of us need to reevaluate because you think that you are able to make good decisions purely based on the fact that you are hearing from God, but you need to remove the alternative voice because the alternative has the ability to speak in your ear and say, wrong ain't really wrong. Ooh, this is good for me, y'all. Preach, B. I'm doing the best I can. Write this down. If you want to make better decisions, surround yourself with better voices. I know that don't seem deep. Write it down because it's going to make, I'm telling you, it's going to make sense later. If you want to make better decisions this year, surround yourself with better voices. And better voices, I also should say godly voices, because we want to have voices that agree with us. That's how I am. I just want you to agree with me. And then I feel good about myself. And really, it's pat my own ego. No. You need people in your life that's just going to speak the truth of God and love to you. And so you need people in your life that are godly, that are praying. I need more friends that know how to fast. I need more friends that know how to pray. I need more friends. I got enough turn up friends. I got enough friends I can call if we want to go to the line. I got enough of those. I need some people in my life that's going to pray, fast, talk to God and say, don't you do it because you know that ain't God. I need. Anybody else in the room? You just need more godly friends. More godly friends. You know what else you need for those of you who are going into business? So you know what else you need? You need godly friends, but you also need people and experts who have made decisions in that same field that you want to move forward in. Y'all, we want to over-spiritualize everything. Some of y'all writing prospectuses and business plans and you trying to apply for grants. You better consult somebody that's already did it. That's why Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, plans succeed. We need God to put in our lives voices that will reaffirm God's voice. God's voice versus the alternative. God's voice versus the serpents. God's voice versus the culture. Because many of us are purely driven in decision making by what seems right out in the world. But godly wisdom will tell you that God's kingdom is always counterculture. What makes sense in the world never makes sense with God. Somebody say, God, give me wisdom. Somebody say, God, give me discernment. Let's really say this one. Say, God, give me people that will speak your voice. So Satan comes along and he tries to distort the very voice of God by saying, look, I know what he said in Genesis 2:16, but wrong really isn't wrong. Did he really say that? Is it really going to do that? Nah, he's trying to dupe you because he believes that if you eat of the tree, you'll actually, you know the difference between right and wrong. But there's another wrestle in the text. It's in verse 6 that I want us to look at real quick. Verse 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, that's when she took of its fruit And she ate it and gave it to her husband who was also with her. I need you to pay attention to these three things that are happening in decision making. Verse 6 says that she saw the tree. Verse 6 says that it was a delight to her eyes. Verse 6 says that she desired it. On some level, all of these factors that helped her to make the wrong decision were all completely from a place of being self-absorbed, and it was decisions from her flesh. She saw it. That's flesh. It was a delight to her eyes. That's flesh. She desired it. That's flesh. And let me tell you something about flesh and decision-making. Your flesh always will make the wrong decision. It'll never make the right decision. I just need honest people again. Can you think of, I'm not even going to give you the whole life. Just think of this week. Can you think of just this week if you actually did what your flesh wanted all week long? Oh, you'd be in the shade room. You'd be donkey of the day. You'd be a hot mess. If we all said, for the rest of the week, I'm just going to make decisions based on what I want. That's exactly what Eve is doing. Eve is making a decision purely derived from her flesh. And your flesh can never be trusted. There's a verse in Jeremiah 17:9 that says that the heart is deceitful. Yes. It's desperately sick. Yes. And then it asks a question. Who can understand it? You cannot make decisions based on your flesh. And this is what many of us do. Many of us purely make decisions on, here it is, what seems right based on our fleshly desires. There's a verse tucked away in Proverbs 14, verse 12, where it says, there is a way that seems right. And then it goes on to say, but at the end of that thing is the way to death. And that's how many of us make decisions. We got to have a better metric than what seems right. God really hemmed me up earlier this week when I was reading Proverbs 14, 12, and I realized that there are some decisions that I make that seem right. You know why? Because most of us in the room are like me. I'm very calculated. I want it to make sense. I want to make sure that the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And God is like, that ain't how the kingdom works. It won't make sense. The T ain't going to be crossed and the I ain't going to be dotted. But are you willing to trust me enough with this decision that might be countercultural? She saw it. She desired it. Her heart wanted it purely based on the fact that I'm sure the tree looked good. I'm sure the fruit was juicy because God made it. You think God going to make a tree before the fall that had nasty fruit? Nah, I doubt it. I doubt it. But the desire for her was so strong that she looked at it and it pulled her in. I just want to help somebody this week. Stop me. I know you got that decision with that contract and you see the numbers on the contract. And you're like, oh, this is lucrative. Oh, this is good. But it might not be God. I want to help somebody that's trying to make that decision on that promotion. I know it seems like it it's a blessing, but what if you took the promotion and next thing you know, you all messed up emotionally, you overworked, you spent, you ain't got no time with the Lord. There are some stuff that makes sense and seems right that you might got to walk away from. Wow. Remember that 11 milli? Seemed right, but you got to have a spiritual insight that is beyond what's on paper. And can I also say, make decisions a little slower too? We quick, y'all. We impulsive. And we live in New York. And you gotta move quick. So everything is fast and everything is fast. But you know, my old boss used to say, you know what? Let's take 8 hours of sleep and come back and talk about it in the morning. I know that's not spiritual enough for y'all. Y'all wanted the Greek and Hebrew. But 8 hours of sleep will be the difference between, yo, he was cute last night. And in the morning, if you sleep 8 good hours, you might be like, he all right. You know, I saw this meme. It was written by a lady. She said, somebody needs to study how fast women can go from obsession to pure disdain. And I was like, dang. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. It was a delight to her eye. And she desired it. Now let's get to the decision she made. But I don't want to rest in the decision. I want to look at the grace found in the passage, in the chapter, in the verse later. In verse number 6, it says she took of his fruit and she ate of it also, and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now, if we stop there, let me tell y'all, life is full of despair. Can I show you grace? Grace is found in verse 21. Verse 21 says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Now, what messes me up when I look at verse 7 and I bump it up against verse number 8, I realize that when Adam and Eve fell and they disobeyed God, this is the original sin, I realize that sin makes you stupid, and so they took fig leaves that's going to dry up later. They're not sustainable. They will not cover them forever. And so what they needed was they needed skin to cover them. But here's the question you should be asking. Where did the skin come from? This is before the fall. No animal. You could walk in the middle of the day with the, you know, with the lions and the tigers, and you were good. You could walk in the cool of the day with God. Where in the world did animal skin come from? Because animal skin tells me something died. Hebrews tells me that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so, hold on, Matthias, you push me. And so understand what is happening right now. God saw them fall and cover themselves with fig leaves. So God said, I'm going to perform the first sacrifice. And he took an animal and he slit its throat and he took the skin and he covered it. And what this points me to is not the animal that got slain. What this points me to is a future sacrifice. This points me to the cross. This points me to the King of Kings. This points me to a lamb that is without blemish and without spot. This points me to Jesus Christ. Somebody say, it points me to Jesus. So you thought Jesus was only in Matthew. You thought Jesus only showed up in the New Testament. But if I understand verse 21, it's what we call in theology typology. This is pointing me to a future sacrifice. It's pointing me to a future. And here's what I love about the word of God. When I ask you, raise your hand if you're still feeling, trying to make your way out of the consequence of a bad decision. Multiple people in this room raise their hand. But here's why I want you to rest. Not in verse 7. I need you to rest in the fact that God is gracious and God is loving and God is kind. So much so that he took an animal and sacrificed it so that he didn't have to sacrifice them. You know they should have died, right? Oh, God should have swiped them out, started with a new Adam and Eve. He should have did that, but he didn't. Now you just sitting there going, yes, we should have did to Adam and Eve. He should have did that with you. The moment we fell, the moment we messed up, he should have wiped us out. I hope y'all hearing me next door. But we serve a God that sits up and says, I know they messed up. I know they made a wrong decision, but I'm going to cover them with the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ that covers all my sin. Anybody grateful to be covered by the blood? That the blood washes away all your sin. That there's nothing I did that the blood didn't cover. But everything has been covered by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all making me nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I am so enamored with the blood. And here's the truth. Those of you who are in the room, I don't know if you're picking this up, but there's two trees that are mentioned in the text. And here's the choice you got to make when you walk out of here today. Which tree am I putting my hope in? The first tree is the tree that they ate from. But verse 21 tells me there's going to be another tree that the sacrifice will be put up on. Oh, y'all ain't believing me. There's a verse that says in Acts chapter 5, verse number 30, that the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And so you might believe in the tree of disobedience, but today you can switch it and believe in the tree of life. And there's somebody in the room that you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, but there's somebody else that have trusted in Jesus, but your eyes and your gaze isn't fixed on the New Testament tree. You're so busy looking at the tree of disobedience. And my question is, are you willing to follow Jesus at all costs? I woke up singing this song. I ain't gonna sing it now. The song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then the song goes on and says, no turning back, no turning back. It says the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. The greatest decision you can make today is either to follow Jesus for the first time, or if you've been following him, continue to watch and gaze at the cross of Jesus Christ, because Genesis 3 verse 21 points me to the work that he will do. That's the decision you got to make. The decision is less about whether or not you should take the promotion. I genuinely believe if you follow God well, the rest of your decisions kind of work their way out. I don't know if that's true for you. I was talking to somebody earlier this week. He was a husband. I said, you know what, man? I'm telling you, I'm a better husband because I follow Jesus. I genuinely believe that. I'm a better friend because I follow Jesus. I make better decisions. I don't make them all right, but I make better decisions because I try to align myself with following Jesus. And some of us have to be careful because we're taking decision making and being too casual with it, what seems right. But I want to move us to making decisions based on what God said. I want to follow Jesus, not culture. I want to follow Jesus, not bad advice. Every head bow, every eye closed. There's a decision I think you have to make today. And I think everybody in the room has to make the decision. Honestly, you have to make it every day. You're going to have to make a decision on which tree you're going to follow. And sometimes I think we think that that decision is only made when I profess faith in Jesus. No. The Christian life is filled with making that decision every day. When you wake up in the morning, you got to say to yourself, how am I going to follow Jesus today? How am I going to trust in the tree of the New Testament? You have to make that decision every day. I simply want to pray for somebody today. First of all, I want to pray for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. You can get the grace and the mercy that's found in the rest of the chapter. You know, the rest of the verse, I'm going to let y'all out of here. The rest of the story says that God ends up kicking them out of the garden. Put the angel to guard them from coming back in. And we read stuff like that and we be like, God kicked us out. Do you know how much grace that is? Because here's the reality. They ate of it one time, but they could have ate of it again. But they weren't even able to do that because the God that you serve is gracious. And there's somebody in this room that their life is filled with turmoil and disalignment with the things of God. And you can get that right today. I want to pray for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And I want to pray for somebody else that does know Jesus, but your life is just filled with just a series of bad decisions. And today is the day you're saying no more. No more. No more making decisions based on what seems right. No more making decisions based on the voices that are around me. I will now make decisions purely based on what God said. If that's you, come down to the altar. Wherever you are, just come on down. Let's pray together. If you're in this room and you're like, I got to make better decisions. My decisions are all over. Like, thank you for coming. Say, today's the day. Today's the day. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I promise y'all, we about to get up out of here. But there's some people that are making a decision right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Father, I thank you for these young ladies, these young men that are being bold enough to profess that today's the day they want to make better decisions. We're tired of making the wrong ones. And I know for some of us, it is the people that are surrounded around us. I know we bear the responsibility and the consequence for the decision. But the truth is, some of us have been swayed from your voice because of the... Would you remove the people around us? That is the alternative voice. Help us to realize that there is no voice better than your voice, that there is no way better than your way, that there is no direction better than your direction. So Lord, I pray that you would put them on the right path and put the right people around them. Lord, I pray, oh God, for discernment. Somebody in the room and somebody on this altar has to make a real serious decision. This ain't time to play games. We got to make a real serious decision. And so, Father, I pray, oh God, that you would speak. Lord, thank you for the seasons where we had to just rely on faith. And I pray that you give us those in the future. But, Lord, remove the gray. Give us black and white. Give us yes and no. Give us do this and don't do this. Lord, I pray, oh God, that as we continue to mature, that we would easily be able to decipher the voice of the enemy and your voice. Lord, may the people on this altar not go back to their seat and make decisions based on what seems right. And finally, Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would realize the amount of grace that you give us. That even in wrong turns, you're like the Waze app. You redirect us. So help us to follow not W-A-Z-E. Help us to follow your W-A-Y-S, your ways, your purpose, your direction. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would crystallize purpose and design. Pray that we would be people that would walk in alignment with you. May we have a season of just pure fruitfulness, not because everything is right, but because we are right on the path we are on, which is your path. I rebuke the enemy that speaks to them. I rebuke the whispers that wrong isn't wrong. Help us to stand against the things that our friends are saying are okay. Let us be a light in the name of Jesus. If somebody on this room, on this altar doesn't know you, Father, I pray and thank you for salvation. I thank you that they are making a decision today to follow you. No turning back. And Lord, I pray that you would set them on a new trajectory, that they would be the one that's not influenced, but that they would be the influencer for your glory, for your honor. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.